Today, well, first of all, it's the day the Lord's made. We say that so many times because we're used to saying it, and we sing songs about it, and I have a special version of that that I like to sing, and I hear it every week, at least every week I play it on my iPod. Yep, I still have an iPod from the 90s. But it is the day the Lord's made, and every day he makes for us has great purpose in it. But you know what? It isn't just a great purpose for our opportunity. It is. But along with opportunities that we have in this day, you're going to be challenged. You're going to run into resistance. Even when you're out here on a beautiful day, we had a couple of them this week, where there isn't, you can't feel any wind, but it's not hot, it's just cool or whatever. If you begin to move, you'll feel wind. You'll feel some of that resistance. That can work two ways here without getting too deep and spiritual on it. Anytime you have a day that the Lord has made, which is all of them, you have resistance in your life. Sometimes, all the time, the devil's behind it, okay? But he's not big enough or even remotely close to divine that he knows what every single one of us is doing every single moment of every single day. He is not God. He lies and tells you he is. And it's not wrong when we pray and say, Satan, I bind you in Jesus' name or whatever. It's okay to say that because here he is, wherever he is, here in this conglomeration of thunderous sound, resisting and rebuking and walking against that challenge on this day which the Lord has given us. So if it were me, I'd be too confused and just shut the door and say, just forget it. But that's not the devil. Some of the lies, what Mark shared earlier, was something that really touched my heart because it went so to the core of what I'm going to share with you today. One of the lies is that in this day, we're just tired and so weary. And our bodies are. Our emotions can be wearied. Our physical body has things that it gets tired from. But I'm going to share some words with you today so you can take it for just this day and push back against the weary. Push back against the anger. Push back against whatever the enemy has decided he's tried to come at you with. Because you're going to hear me say then just a minute. Remember, I'm just one of you. We're all the same here. We all have to fight these good fights of faith and so forth. But we're going to find out. I'm going to shine the light a little bit on why Satan, why he's a liar every time, all the time. And I've had some personal challenges the last month and a half that I had, that God dropped this in my heart. What I'm going to share with you is I was waking up on these days, and instead of saying this is the day the Lord has made, or instead of jumping up like my mentor Zig Ziglar says, jump up and say, good morning, Lord. I'd get up and say, good Lord, this morning. And I caught myself saying this. Well, I wonder what's going to happen today. And Holy Spirit is here, and he's, well, let me tell you. But I chose to listen to the resistor. Because the picture was painted in front of me. I got this going crazy over here. I have that going crazy over here. I have loss. I've seen death. I've seen marriage. I've seen almost a whole gamut of things here in this last few months. And in the past year, I look at it. And I kept looking at it and thinking and wondering and whatever. And the Lord took words that I wrote. Actually, my notes said I wrote them in 2019. But it sure felt more recent than that. And he dropped them back in my heart on one of these days that I was being a big crybaby and just blowing up and thinking. And so I read through that. And these, what I'm going to share with you is derived from what the Lord shared with me. And I think my wife could attest to this. From when that happened, from the way it was before to the way it is now, the Lord has regained the control of my life that he demands, that he paid for. And boy, I'm glad because I was going to a dark place. And am I alone here? Am I being too transparent? Or is, how many of you here have felt, some places might be darker than others, but you felt this the last week, the last few weeks. How many knows this is in the world? And we say the world, it's not some big cloud out there. It's all of the people here. It's all of us. Great struggles. Horrible things. But this is the day the Lord has made. Who made the day? Who gave it to us? The Lord. It's the day he created. And you know what? He likes us. He likes us a bunch. Oh, by the way, he loves us. Oh, by the way, he stepped in front of death between me and death for me because he loved me that much. And he did it for you. One day that he created, this day that the Lord created was the day Jesus died. And I'm sure there was a lot of emotion going around then where people didn't feel very good about that day. But I'm glad it happened. In fact, I wouldn't be here if it didn't happen. How many of you know that that's probably true for a lot of you guys? Because that day, the one who created that day spent it paying the price for every sin of humanity, for mine and yours, for all of them. That day that he created, it looked, you'll find out here in a minute, it looked like horribly bad things were happening, and it was. But the results was out of this world. And what was left in this world is going to struggle around here for a while longer and writhe around and in its death throes, and it'll go away. And we'll still be going. Those who love the Lord and have accepted him will still have the day the Lord has made. It might be one eternal day. I don't know if heaven's going to have days and nights or whatever, but what a beautiful thing. That day he died, the day that Jesus died, you could really say, from no matter what your point of view is, that it probably was the most horrible day for humanity proper because how dark and ugly and whatever it was. But in where the real truth lies, in the spirit, in the heart of our Creator, our Father, it was a glorious day because blood was spilled. The body was broken. Things happened to him in our place. And the Lord started flooding me with this as I read my little discourse. It wasn't really a sermon. I pulled some things out of there. And I have 4 pages. That just means I got 3 I won't get to this time. Oh, I will get to them because we're going to just read verbatim a few things here. But I want you to know today's a day of blessing. Today's a day of encouragement. Today's a day where you'll take a deep, deep, deep drink and gulp. And you're going to have to say, hold on a minute. Give me a break. I got to breathe. And you find out you're breathing. That's good too. And just keep drinking the living water. This word that I'm going to share to you, you'll see what I'm talking about as you begin to hear it. It pulled me out almost literally in just a few hours of the place where I was. And a lot of that junk that's going on still may be going on. But this is the day the Lord's made. And I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I'm going to preach from Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Nerd alert, I'm going to expand that out here in just a minute. And another verse, Psalm 18:19. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delights in me. Psalm 37:23 and 24 says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by his hand. There's another verse in Proverbs 16 that says, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now listen to this. The man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his step. And then this other verse I just read said, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. That doesn't just mean that God's just directing your life. If you're in a military situation and someone says they're going to give an order, that means you stand at attention. A command is given for something to happen. And the inference of this word here, per my Nerd Alert history research, is the same word order is the same like generals in armies would use to express a desire for things to happen. So the Lord will order your steps. Not just know what they are or having planned them. You can devise your way, but if your heart is with God, seeking God, you'll devise your way, the Lord will direct your steps, and he'll order them to be successful. Yeah, that's what it says here. Think about that. You think, all these people standing around wondering, what's God's will for my life? Wake up. This is the day the Lord has made, and let's move. And when you move, you'll find out here later, you move in love. And then you start feeling the challenge. We'll talk about that in a moment. Okay, Psalm 149:4. The Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Every weapon and everything, every confrontation we have that the devil has is a lie. It's real in the flesh because we feel it, touch it, smell it, taste it, none of which have anything to do with faith. None of it has to do with faith. But Kurt, it's a very real thing when there's illness here. It's a very real thing when money things don't work out. It's a very real thing when on and on and on and on. But listen as I'm sharing here. Just listen and may the Lord plant it in your heart the way he did mine. Every weapon is literally Satan's feeble effort to deflect our focus off Jesus. For when we have laser focus on Jesus, when we're believing and receiving God's unfailing love, his limitless grace, and his relentless and enduring mercy. How long does the Bible say his mercy endures for? Forever. Well, you tell me when you find a period at the end of that sentence, because forever, you're going to go a long way because it never ends. His mercy endures forever. But when we're focused on Jesus and living in those, we become Satan's greatest threat. Because we're alive in the day the Lord made, and we're, okay, Lord, I'm believing, and I'm receiving. And the response to the believing and the receiving is to be, not just to do something, but to be someone. Who are we to be? You may be the only Jesus people see that day. His love comes in and out of us. We're a conduit. We receive that grace. We should give that grace. And this is where it started turning on me because I wasn't giving a lot of grace to people. I wasn't giving any mercy to people. I wasn't showing a lot of love to people. You think that's kind of weird? You go somewhere and ask somebody, well, we need to pray for the family of, who's that mass murderer, one of those mass murderers? They talk, we need to pray for his family. Oh, why would you pray for that? We need to pray for the president. Oh, you would pray for, as a Christian? Well, that's what we're supposed to do. If Jesus hung on the cross and had a little note that said, this is for everybody except these people, except. There are no asterisks to salvation. If you believe God raised Jesus from the dead, that he died for your sins and God raised him from the dead, you confess him as Savior with your mouth, you are born again. Not of this corruptible mess, but incorruptible. But we're Satan's threat whenever we're allowing his love to flow, his limit, his grace to flow, and his mercy to flow in us and through us. But when we exercise these things, begin to give it out and to share it, we don't just become his greatest threat, we become his greatest fear. Yeah, the devil's fear. I said, Lord, I'm not going to put in my mind that I'm really big and the devil's real a little feeble guy who's afraid of me or whatever, and I'm not supposed to do that. Sometimes you hear people talk like that and it sounds like they're bragging. But he's not afraid of me because of me. I used to be the president of his club in where I lived. I did a lot to share his word. I painted a lot of pictures for people all before I was in my junior year in high school. And boy, you can do a lot of damage before then. So I know he's not just afraid of me because of me. But here's the thing, and I like to say it this way. The Bible says for us to put on the whole armor of God, and it talks about what the armor is, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, all of these things. And I've always thought this, and this is how the Lord told me. When the devil comes knocking at your door, whenever you feel these resistances when you wake up at the beginning of your this is the day, don't answer the door without your armor on. Well, I sure wish this person would get well. I sure wish that situation would really change. But it's just something in my family for years. I'll call Pastor Tim. Maybe he'll pray for it. Maybe something. Don't answer the door and let in your pajamas when the devil knocks. Just strap that armor on. And I mean it figuratively, but have yourself ready with that righteous breastplate. It's not your righteousness anyway. It's not even your armor. Who owns the armor? Put on the whole armor of Kurt. No. It won't fit. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Every day is evil on this planet. But I don't subscribe to that publication. I have a publication I subscribe to that said, every day is the day the Lord made. So my decision is, I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And whack, somebody T-bones you at the intersection and messes up your fender. Are you going to still rejoice and be glad in it? Well, you're alive. But you see, in the world, these kind of things get manipulated and come against us. But I'm telling you, with love and grace and mercy, and if we make our mind up to let it flow through us, not just to us, we will see what the Lord meant when he said, this is the day I've made for you. You're going to see that what I'm talking about is God's greatest blessing. We need blessings, don't we, today? We need to know about them. Let's pray. Father, your word, help me relate it and articulate it to my friends here the way you have to me. Because I know it wasn't a word just for me. But as we share it, may the good ground of all their hearts, may this seed take root. And before we leave here today, we hope that we secondarily upset hell and the devil and all that mess. But we want to have honored and blessed and pleased you. And to go out of this place, Lord, knowing that it is the day you made. And if you made it, you didn't make it for you. You made it for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God has provided glorious salvation, great peace, and great victory. His victory. And Satan has no way to stop it in our lives. The only way we can stop exercising victory that you've given us is if we choose to. And you don't just wake up one morning and say, well, I'm not going to exercise victory in Christ today. I know it's the day the Lord has made, but we don't do that. It's a subtle thing. We gradually go this way. We eventually find ourselves out here on an island all alone. We eventually have not read or prayed or done something for a few days, a week, or whatever. And we wake up one day and said, wow, what's going on here? But we have to stop and realize we have been gloriously saved. God has given us great peace, and this is a word for Mark. I told him the Lord had a word for him. Peace. In the turmoil and the difficulties, great peace. Clarity of mind. And we are praying that the circumstances change and that the witness will be able to be even greater than it's ever been for our brother. But great peace, that's his word, Missy. The Bible tells us that the devil walks around roaming to and fro as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Two words, as a roaring lion, he's not, whom he may devour. Oop, there's a question there. Well, I need to purpose, and you do, that we're not one of the whom's he will. Because a lion with no teeth can't really gnaw on us too much. Except my papaw could. We were raised in the South. I never saw a tooth in that man's head, and he could eat corn on the cob. I kid you not. And boy, did he have a beautiful smile. Oh, Pepple. I've outlived him 6 years already. He's waiting. Start to feel this blessing, folks. He's waiting over there. You got somebody over there too, don't you? You got people that are more alive than you are right now. Great cloud of witnesses. You can imagine it's a ball game if you want, but it's not exactly that way unless you can put billions of people in a place. But they're for you. They love you. And they're waiting, and you'll see them. But when the devil comes, he's walking around like a roaring lion, pretending that he can devour you, using every kind of lie and deception. Now, do you know what's in the devil's toolbox? Lies and deception. He doesn't have some big old thing he can take out of there that God says, whoa, I didn't take that in consideration when Jesus died and used it on you. No, that don't work. Death was the worst that could happen. And Jesus said, I'll take that. I'll take that for Kurt. I'll take that for you guys. I'll take it. So when the devil opened his toolbox and says, well, I got lies and deception, but who's that dude with that armor, man? There's a bunch of them. What are all you doing with that armor on? We are the devil's greatest fear. We are. Because every weapon he thinks, and he says the weapons that he uses, there really isn't any weapon. The Bible talks about that there are carnal weapons, that things that happen in the flesh that the devil will emphasize and try to get you to do something to make you feel bad. Like, for example, where is it? 1 John 2:16, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. But if you read that scripture, it doesn't say that these are in the devil's toolbox to make your life miserable, to tip you. The Bible says that these are things of the world. Things of the world. Things that our flesh has not been perfected yet. There's still, I don't know if I want to say this way, it might confuse people. But the Bible says that sin is condemned in your flesh. There's going to be a day that this corruption, this flesh will put on incorruption. There's going to be a day when it'll all change. But that's why people still pass away, even though they're strong believers and whatever, and we pray and we see great healing and whatever, because this body can't handle that. And it's in a corrupt world, and there's corrupt things happening, and the devil can't make any one of them happen on his own ever. He has to convince deceived and lied to people to do it. We are our own worst enemy. If he opens his toolbox and he sees lust of the flesh, lust of that product, well, I got to figure out a way to throw stuff in front of them so that they'll lust for flesh. They'll lust for money. They'll covet. I got to deceive them into thinking that's better than what they have. But man, they got that armor on. I can't get there. You don't better come knocking, devil, if you don't want to answer that door. Because you might have whatever is in his broken, I don't even know how to talk about it. I just know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, with lust of the flesh, worldly stuff, lust of the eye, worldly stuff, pride of life, worldly stuff. All deception. He's a fake, he's a liar, he's the father of lies, and he's not the lion. Even the scripture said he is as a roaring lion. Do you know who the lion is? Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's got teeth. He used to be dead, but he's not anymore. And the devil can't handle that. You and I can't even handle that. That's why we have to believe it by faith. How many believe that by faith, that he's not dead anymore? He's alive. Yep, he's alive forevermore. He took that for us. Everything Satan attempts to devour us with, everything he tries to has us condition ourselves with, to be deceived with, actually will destroy itself. It always does. Sin always destroys yourself. It always destroys itself. But here's the thing. When he tries to make us fear, fear flees. Fear becomes afraid of the person behind that armor. Fear becomes weaker as we exercise faith. Did you know fear and faith are virtually the same quality, the same characteristic? They're just diametrically opposite. You believe in your, if you receive in your mind and your heart and confess with your mouth that these riots are peaceful, that this color is this color, that up is down, you can be completely wrong and sincere and deceived and believe it. But it always ends up destroying itself. It never comes to anything but destroy. Fear becomes weaker when we exercise faith. Loneliness becomes lonely because we don't subscribe to it. You know why? Because you're never alone. I'm never alone. Whoa. What? Lo, I am with you always. Hi, I am with you always. Front, back, side, side. From the bottom up, from the inside out, from the trickle down, from the over here. He's always with us. When I first got saved, it's not just because I'm from the hills. I'm sure all of you have run through this. And I'm still having to deal with it. We're living, we're doing the best we can with Holy Spirit's help to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's one of those worldly things. And so the Lord tells us through John, he said, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so you don't sin. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That doesn't mean you commit one sin, you're out of the club, you're going to hell, and Jesus has to be an attorney to get you back in. If we really knew what that interpretation meant, and it implies it, it says, if you confess, it says, you have an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous. It's a perpetual flow of his blood covering us. Christians commit sins, sometimes by accident. Oh, Kurt, don't say what you're about to say. Sometimes on purpose? What? But he didn't have to die every time we do that, you see. And if we have the heart to seek him, we may have those times when we do that. David did. Well, he didn't shoplift a bag of gum. He had people killed. Wow. And he's a man after God's heart. So we have a provision now that perpetually flows to forgive us, and that makes the devil afraid of us. He said, no weapon formed against us can prosper. Do you know why? Because the only weapons the enemy has is deception and lies, to deceive us through lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, to make us be our own worst enemy. But the reason that no weapon against us will prosper is because our weapons aren't carnal. We don't fight the enemy and that pushback we see every day that we get up on this day the Lord has made. They're mighty through God. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. The weapons of our warfare pull down strongholds. You know, grammatically, you can say weapons of our warfare to pull down our strongholds, or the strongholds that are in my life. But you're a believer, Kurt. Yep, and I'm living in a physical world, and physical things happen. Bad things happen to good people. In fact, bad things happen to some people that are so good. I've told Rhonda this. The world wasn't worthy of those people. That don't make them divine or anything. That just means they're better off than us right now. But because I'm in this flesh, it hurts when we lose people we love. It hurts when we fail. It hurts when we fail on purpose or by mistake or bad judgment or completely didn't see it coming and we make mistakes. He covered it all. Again, he didn't have asterisk on him. He didn't have a system that said, well, every time you mess up, you better get rededicated and sin. If you die after you made this mistake. You're lost. I used to grow up thinking that. And then I thought, well, if I'm lost, I guess he's going with me because he's never leaving me. Never leave you. Never. I share this with people sometimes. It's like pulling onion skin back to see revelations in the Word. One scripture, and 10 years later, you can peel off different layers and it says different things, but it's been there the whole time. I am with you always, Kurt. I'm always with you. Always with you. Think. Close your eyes with me for a minute. Jesus is with us. Holy Spirit is alive in us. Jesus was one spirit with the Father. He said, I and my Father are one. Now we're talking about personage here. We're not talking about just divinity. With Jesus it is. He is this divine. He is divine. But you know, the Bible says that we're one spirit with the Lord too. And here's another thing, that when you open that door with your armor on, when that stuff comes against you, whatever it is that day, the day the Lord gave us, this is the day, don't just have your armor on, but have a few things with your sword. It could be a scalpel, but it's his most intimidating weapon for the believer. The sword of the Spirit. That two-edged thing, it can cut to bring healing, like correction and discipline, or it can just lop the head off the enemy. That sounds more fun. For God has, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Kurt, time for me to deceive you today. Oh, nice suit. Yeah, I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named in this world or that to come. Well, there ain't much any other place. And he seated us with him above all of that. And you know what the devil's, one of his addresses is? Principality Avenue. And we don't have to live on that street. We don't have to be there. Do you get the message I'm sharing with you? It's a day the Lord has given us to rejoice and be glad in it. Okay, it's page 2, and I'll do this real quick. I'll just read it, because this is the good part. I gave you the Oreo part. Now this is the cream filling, okay? Here is how we are blessed. These are God's greatest blessings to us. They saturate us and all those around us. Let's count them. As number one, as we walk with the Lord, the choices we make and the direction we take will always please him. Number two, because we've set our heart and mind toward him, he will order all of our steps to be successful. Every step and effort is already primed for success. Three, he ever abides in us. We are never alone. Four, God's love has never and never will fail us. His love will never fail us. Five, sins are forgiven and forgotten to be remembered no more. They've been moved away from God as far as east is from the west. Yes, he forgives and forgets. I'm really glad about that. Six, God is leading us from within and without. Seven, we are saturated in his kindness. We're protected and insured by his promises. We march victoriously through this dead world to the rhythm of the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. Everybody else is just wandering around out there. Think about that. We are reborn, redeemed, renewed, repurposed. Repurposed not just to do things, but to live the life of Jesus among all people, allowing God's love to flow in and out of us, just like blood flows from the heart. We're protected, directed, resurrected from the cold, dead sin to eternal life. The hungry and thirsty are drawn to us as we serve the bread of life and offer them living water. Angels have been dispensed for us. The devil is incensed at us. And God is convinced that we are worth the price of the life of his son. You've heard me say that before, but the more I think about it, God said, you're worth the life of my son. Why? Because now he has lots of sons and daughters, and he got that one back. So let's keep our heads up, our hearts steadfast, and our minds set to never fail, falter, or waver from the favor of our great and loving Father. And it certainly isn't easy to stand with others are falling all around us, But that's why God gave us grace, because we're living here on the slippery place. But he said, if you fall 1,000 times, get up, come to me. All of you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Don't run away from God if you mess up. You're fighting a good fight of faith, and it's not, you normally don't fight a good fight and know what the outcome already is. We already know what the outcome is. That already happened. This war is over. Over. People win wars in this world, and we'll stick a flagpole in the ground. Well, there was a cross stuck in the ground. It's over. Well, why are there still battles? So we can grow, so we can mature, so God can demonstrate his love perpetually over and over and over and over continually to us. That's blessings, folks. Now, here's the trick. Okay, I got to leave the last page off. Film at 11, okay. God's greatest blessing, that's what I call this. But I've read to you what God's blessings are to us. These are all blessings for us. Look at your neighbor. There's a blessing right there. I look in the mirror and I think, is that a blessing? But you know what the title really means? We are God's greatest blessing to him. The Bible says, there's a scripture where he says that he delights in us. In fact, that first one I read you, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He takes great delight in you and his love. He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I looked up the Hebrew words, and it's authentic because I wrote it down, see? The original language. It's all kinds of meanings, depending on when they said it. But what it meant here in this context is the word rejoice. It means joy, shouting, crying, triumphant proclamation, crying to the top of your ability, to spin and dance around with violent, passionate emotion. That's all in that word. Yep. That means he sings and dances and shouts for joy over us. The angels shout when we accept the Lord as our Savior. But shouts of joy, the shout from the Heavenly Father. I love these. Oh, I'm so, they're my babies. They're mine. And when Lucifer came in and said, I got a plan. No, you don't. You have no plan. Hands off. When you encounter challenge or resistance today, maybe before you leave the door there, remember, the greater one is in us, and you are God's greatest blessing. Now, there's humility, there's appreciation, there's a lot that goes with that. That doesn't put us in some elite club that we're better than anybody. No, 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 no. We're at the bottom, the servant. If our government would figure that out, we'd be a lot better off. I hope we don't get demonetized. Servants. If we esteem others to be better than us, we undergird them to lift them up. And you know what? This is what the Lord has ministered to me just this week about. Not just the ones that hug our neck and pat us on the back and say, I appreciate it. Sometimes it's the ones that cuss us out. I don't want to bless them. Nope. That's why if you do sin, you have an advocate. Let's take another swing at it, Kurt. But Lord, nope, no buts. Got to love him. But Lord, he hurt me. Well, they killed me. You knew better than that. I got you, Lord. Give me that helmet. It don't fit, but the devil doesn't have to know that. Let's stand up. Pastor, appreciate so much the chance to share. Sometimes I go shorter, which is typical for me. Sometimes I go longer. But I feel like today, among the many things that every person here, there's different challenges and issues represented with every single one of us. But today, let's shine the light. Let's expose the devil and expose the situation for what it really is. Yeah, he doesn't like us, but he's not God. He doesn't keep tabs on every person all the time where we are. He lied to us and believed that. Don't even think in those terms. That's why our focus gets off the Lord. The devil would want us to think that way. We just need to think about the Lord and let him deal with whether his whoever it is reports and said, boy, that Tim Hacker over there, he's needing some attention from you, big guy, because we can't shake him. I don't know if that's how it works or not. Don't care. You know what I care about? For God so loved Kurt and Missy and Ron and Sue. Maybe you too, brother. I'm sure he does. Just put your name in there. And the only begotten son was given for you, and he didn't hold anything back. The Bible says, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And to walk uprightly, we need the walker, the assist, the person of Holy Spirit. And we have it. It's been sent. Father, thank you for this wonderful family, people. I pray that the sentences and paragraphs I've shared will find some semblance of order and be such a benefit. I know, Lord, your word won't return void, but accomplish what you intended for it to do. And today, you may have intended 50 different ways that this is applied to all your people. Maybe hundreds. Maybe growing. I don't know. But thank you for the chance to share it. And Lord, thank you for stopping me in my tracks to turn my eyes to where it needs to be, off of what I think are the problems and onto the answer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.